On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, RJ, that's me, and Soto fight over the Khalil Mack trade yet again. Are the Raiders getting overconfident? And we do a little report card on how John Gruden is doing through the first three seasons and this offseason as well. Go to www.manscaped.com using promo code WINBAGS for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. And we love that when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Nightmares.
There it is! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, 19 days away until the Ravens come to town. Week one, Monday Night Football, first real game at Allegiant Stadium with fans. So next Saturday, I'm going to be in Vegas working. I'm going to be in Vegas working this weekend. But next Saturday will be the very first college football game ever played at Allegiant Stadium. BYU against Arizona. Now, I also went to the very first football game, college football game played at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. It was Oklahoma versus BYU. So I'm thinking I'm going to do a little, like, you know, a little pregame, right? Go to Allegiant Stadium the week before opening weekend, go to a college game, play college ticket prices, you know? Might just ease into this new Allegiant experience.
Dude, UNLV made out. That's their home stadium. Like, fuck. That is a fucking tits-ass stadium for a college
team. What
was the
name of the other stadium? It was like Boyd Stadium or something.
It was
like
a whack-ass field.
Way out. And I went to so many because
it's by the airport.
Because I got my dad went to BYU. My brother went to BYU. And so, like, there would be that the Las Vegas Bowl would be like the Mountain West one and like the Pac-10, like four or five. So BYU went like three seasons in a row. We'd go all the time, and it was a trash stadium. Like, it was like, oh, God.
But they had the
whole thing's like, well, it's Vegas, so people are just going to come no matter how bad the stadium is.
Well, the drainage to that stadium was on one corner, so the field actually fucking tilted, like sloped to one corner of the fucking stadium.
You always run jet sweeps south to north.
Yeah, you go fast as fuck.
Yeah, although that is where I discovered the Rumple Mints hot chocolate combination, because it would always be like December and it'd be Vegas. It'd be like 40 degrees. Right. So we'd be freezing our ass off like, oh, this Rumple Mints. They had that cocktail there. It's Rumple Mints and hot chocolate. Ooh,
that's the move when you're in Vegas. You just take a shot of Rumple Mints in the morning. You don't have to brush your teeth or anything. You're good to go the entire day. You're minty
like mouthwash.
Fresh.
So only 19 days away until the Raiders are in town.
I've only found one DJ Turner, 19, number 19.
Not a big number.
Yeah.
19. Not a special one. Congratulations are in order, Soto.
Uh-oh.
8 years ago today, August 25th, I attended your wedding.
So happy shit.
You forgot your own anniversary, didn't you?
Well, I'm divorced now, so fuck it.
I know. That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if you remembered the anniversary of your
It's 9 years ago. I was married in 2012.
Was it nine? Guys got the Facebook reminders. Maybe it was like a reminder of a reminder.
No, I guess it is my anniversary.
August 25th. Today. Happy anniversary, Soto. You've never been happy.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you something right now. Look, the marriage didn't work out, and I thank the Lord.
Yep.
But that was a
wedding
ass fucking reception.
I had a great
I'll tell
time.
You that right now. I think everybody did. You know what? Like, I got so my friend Frankie, he conceived his daughter that night.
Yeah, I was sitting at, you weren't there during the conception, I assume you were there.
No,
so I was sitting at the table with Frankie and I was ordering us shots, got him hammered. And Frankie's like, yeah, I blame you for me knocking up my girl.
Dude.
Yeah, it was a team effort. Soto and I,
we had some nice ass Reposado tequila, and we instead of the lime, we used orange wedges and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And people were like, dude, don't ever do that shit again.
Dangerous.
Because it just cuts everything. Like, you just sip it and it's like done. You don't taste anything else. And it was just so smooth. And we had like two big jugs of mojito. We had beer, wine, champagne.
I like to say I remember, but I don't.
I got like six phone calls the next couple of days from female friends and family members of mine that are trying to bang me for money, because they're like, dude, that cobblestone walkway from like the venue to the hotel, yeah, like you ruined my fucking heels and blah blah blah. I'm like, listen, homie,
my wife went down.
Yeah, that's right, she did.
Yep, big old bruise in the side. Yep, that's a good sign of a, because there wasn't any fights, so at least there was drunken falling. You know what I mean? Like every good wedding needs at least a fight. Or like people falling over drunk, and you got one. Mission accomplished.
The fight was the 5 years after.
Yeah,
the wedding. That's one big fight.
The fight was the actual marriage. The wedding was.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I'm telling you guys, no, it was almost worth getting married for that kick-ass reception.
It was definitely worth for me for you for to get year, married yeah. and get divorced. Yes. I definitely agree. I concur. Real quick before we get to the meat of our show, something's been digging at me all week long. So we had AJ Hawk on our show last week. Yeah, and
great guest,
friend of the show. And he hit and he mentioned something kind of offhand, and it's been bugging me ever since. Like,
all right,
did he give us a slight? Did he give all Raider fans this kind of like underhanded dig that kind of went under the radar? Take a listen. Tell me what you think. This is awesome, AJ. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, AJ.
Hey, thank you guys, and good luck to the Raiders this year. They're going to do great.
Sarcastic asshole.
Hopefully. I hope so. Their division's too good, man. Their division's really good. So I'm not saying the Raiders are bad. Their division is just so good. When I look around, the Raiders are getting better. So, yeah, we'll see, man. I think you should have some hope.
They're going to do great. I think you should. That was a subtle dig. That was AJ on the way out, just farting in the elevator on the 17th floor, stepping out, and all of us have to smell it all the way down to floor one.
Yeah, that was a straight crop dust right there. He straight took a dump.
Sneaky bastard.
He took a dump in his lunch bag and he just left it there. And we're always like, ugh, the fuck?
I mean, he's been doing this for a while. Like, for as long as I've known him, every time like a new Raiders season comes around, anything happens and football season's there, and I'm just like, yeah, I think the Raiders this or the Raiders that. He's like, oh yeah, they're gonna go to the Super Bowl. They're gonna win it all. Like, God damn it, AJ, shut up. You don't mean everything. That. Son of a bitch. He's going to be the number one guy. I'm going to like whenever the Raiders win the Super Bowl, he'll be the first guy I'm going to throw it in his face. Bastard.
You should buy him a fucking a Raiders Super Bowl t-shirt. Be like, wear this with a smile. Fucking bozo talking shit. AJ, great guest, man. He was, you know what? It was towards the end and he's like, yeah, they're going to do great. And then he just sat there. I'm just like,
they're going to do great.
Hopefully. And then he's like, hopefully. Yeah, maybe we'll see. Like, oh man, he got us on that one on the way out.
So the news of the day, this is coming out literally just hours ago as a recording on a Wednesday night. Denzel Perryman traded from the Panthers to the Raiders, linebacker. He currently has a 2-year, $6 million deal. Only $990,000 of that is guaranteed for this year, so pennies comes to the salary cap. We are giving up a sixth. And they are giving us a seventh in Perryman.
And the player.
And the player. So it's like a nothing trade. Now, Perryman, it was a second-round pick, played for the Chargers for five years, under our defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley. So obviously, yeah. Gus knows him. Now, he's still pending a physical because he basically didn't practice all training camp with the Panthers. They signed him in March. He's either been hurt or not, like for whatever reason, hasn't been playing. So there's a physical coming. We'll see what happens there. So this is kind of like a nothing trade, like a very minor acquisition / move. However, what does this mean as far as the health of two potentially very important linebackers, Nicholas Morrow and Javon White, both questionable. Yeah. And because teams aren't required to say what injuries are yet, right? Like they're required during certain times and the regular season rolls around. Everyone's been mum. Like Gruden said in the press conference today, I'm not saying anything until I have to, which is just strategically correct, right? Maybe does this mean that White and Morrow are going to be out for an extended period of time?
It could be one of two things. Either White and Morrow are going to be out for, like you said, a extended period of time, or they are not comfortable with the backup linebackers that they have should somebody get dinged up or in the season they miss somebody and the backups has to play a bigger role. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. Perryman doesn't need to really practice to learn the system and learn the defense. He already, that's all he's known as a pro.
Plug and play defense. As long as he's not broken.
As long as he's, yeah. And he's performed pretty well. You know, he's, I think his low in tackles was in the low 60s. So he's always been this kind of like rotational guy. And he's performed when he's played. He's not a world beater, but he's not going to make, you know, he's not going to make your defense or help your defense take a shit if he's in there. He's capable. Maybe he wasn't lighting the world on fire because that's not who he is. He's a rotational guy, and he'll plug in there and he'll get some tackles for you.
The optimistic way to look at it is it's just simply adding depth, like you said, to the linebacking core, because I think this is the deepest Raiders squad I can remember. Definitely not the best, but as far as depth, where like the number two guy isn't light years worse than the number one guy, and the number three guy isn't light years worse than the number two guy. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of depth at every single position, specifically like wide receiver. We have one of the best backup running backs in football, the best backup quarterbacks in football, one of the best running back rooms in football, one of the best tight end rooms in football. No offensive line in all of football is really deep. Like, how many teams can really like give up like a starting tackle and not suffer? But we're kind of sort of, by league standards, semi deep there. And defensively, like, we have 1,000 defensive tackles, 12 DBs, linebacker is a little thin depth wise. So here's a guy you can just kind of plug and play, be a rotational dude, second stringer.
You know, there's a few teams, the Raiders being one of them, that they just plug in offensive linemen and like nothing ever happened. Tennessee comes to mind. 49ers come to mind. They'll lose guys. Guys will get hurt. It's like just nothing slows down. Their running game is still good. And but yeah, you know, that I would love to have that high top end starters, mm-hmm. and then have there be maybe a little bit more gap with the guys behind them. But I mean, people are going to get hurt, you know, especially now. It just seems like more players are getting hurt. That they're practicing less. So
they're not used to practicing. It's just, yeah, so they step in the field and their hamstring just explodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I also think when it comes to O-line, like, every agent who represents tackles was like praying to the gods that the Super Bowl went the way that it did. Right. The Chiefs lose two tackles and the offense just gets completely slammed, just completely demolished. And of course, like, Tampa Bay's front seven is one of the best front sevens in football. And
you
got a lot of scouting you can do. And, you know, Tampa Bay was a solid team. Obviously, we learned that the hard way. But the main storyline was that Kansas City lost their two tackles. And now
Mahomes is running for his life.
And the offense just fell flat in its face. So now everyone's like, oh, man, we can't have that happen again. We better get some tackles. And every single agent who's got a tackle is like, suckers.
Oh,
hey, yeah. Show me the money.
The Kool-Aid guy. Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, I look at our depth at line, I'm just like, it's not great. But then
nobody can
lose two starting linemen and be fine. Other than the Raiders, like last season.
It's
like,
not three. Ah, you're good.
We're the only team that can lose starters on the line and still be okay.
Apparently the Chiefs coming into this year, because they have like four new starters and they're going to win the Super Bowl, as everyone says.
Of course. The other, like, not news, but it did open up old wounds. It was reported by Vic Tafer of The Athletic that John Gruden reached out in a possible trade with the Bears for Khalil Mack, going back and trying to pick up a guy that he obviously traded before he even coached a game in his second stint with the Raiders. And of course, this opened up Pandora's box of people saying, oh, he's such an idiot, you should have got rid of him in the first place. And you know, this trade will always be debated and talked about, I feel like, for years and years and seasons to come. It's not going anywhere. But I don't see this as like a black eye to the Raiders move, or like it's desperation or, oh, we screwed up. I still feel like that was the correct trade. I still feel like getting two firsts, getting all that cap space, still the right move.
I don't believe it.
Absolutely still the right move. Now, we used those draft picks terribly, which is another issue, but it was the right move considering how much cap space we saved and the draft capital we
picked up. Cap space doesn't win you championships. Well, winning championships are elite players. You need to have elite players. Everyone who's in deep in the playoffs has elite players. If you have an elite player, You need to find a way to build around him. If you can't draft, if you can't sign free agents, that's your fault as an organization. What you don't do is you don't give away a fucking franchise.
Give away. We got a king's ransom for him.
Knowing what the history has been of John Gruden drafting, and you have a new fucking GM going in the next year who has never been a GM before, it just wasn't smart.
I don't think Mayock wasn't the GM at that point, right?
No, he wasn't. It was all Gruden. But, dude, that's why you don't give one guy all that power. And I don't know, man. The thing is you can't 4-5 away to a championship. You need to have those elite players. And when you have one who's a special talent, they don't come around very often.
Well, you're not going to get any other players if you have a third of your salary cap devoted to two players. Like, they had just signed Derek Carr to that big contract. It was the biggest contract in football for like 45 minutes. And then, according to Mark Davis, they offered Khalil Mack enough money to make him the highest paid defensive player in football. He still said no. And so at that point, it's like,
let's poke some holes in that. Making him the highest paid defensive player on paper is one thing. Mm-hmm. Offering him guaranteed money, because that's what the players want.
Sure.
They want the guaranteed money. So that's a whole different thing. So let's just not
there make can be gray
that
area
to
there.
Be the main thing. So that's a big gray area.
There can be gray area.
And that's one of the things that's been talked about. And whether you want to believe it or not believe it, that's what has been talked about, was the guaranteed money that Mac wanted. And they weren't able or weren't willing to give him that.
So let's say they had to
money.
Give him even more than that, right? You can't build a team when a third of your salary cap's on two players. You can't. Like, you can't win that way. That's why, like, all
you
these.
You said the exact same thing. You're saying the exact opposite thing of what you're talking about now when you're talking about signing Carr again to a big fat contract because, hey, the cap's going to be going up. They're getting all this money for this.
Not so. So you can't have the highest paid offensive player and the highest paid defensive player.
We didn't have the highest offensive player.
Yes, Derek Carr was. Look, he had just signed his extension. He was literally the highest paid player in football.
If you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to give Derek Carr that money, fine. Derek Carr was never the best player. He was never an MVP candidate. He was never.
An MVP candidate in 2016. He absolutely was an MVP candidate in 2016. Okay. And he would have been MVP candidate this season if our defense wasn't literally the worst defense in Raiders.
Oh my God, RJ, stop with the defense. You keep doing this. Just stop it. Let's separate Carr's production for what it is and not talk about wins and losses. Okay. He had a good season.
But
he was
number
10.
And other people do. Other people are just like you.
I'm talking about Carr and his production right now. I'm not shitting on it. He was a 10 or 11th, depending on what you look at, 10 or 11th ranked quarterback. You don't make that guy the top fucking paid player in the NFL. You got to be the guy to give him that much money. Khalil Mack was the guy.
So you would have let Derek Carr go and kept Khalil Mack.
Sure, I would have.
That's ridiculously stupid.
Okay.
The quarterback is a 10 times more valuable
position.
Dude,
it's a quarterback league. There's plenty of quarterbacks out there.
No, there isn't. There is not. The Colts can't find one. The Bears have been going through like a quarterback drought forever. Like, it isn't. There are all these quarterbacks floating around everywhere.
How many Khalil Mack? How well have we done replacing Khalil Mack?
How well did we do with Khalil Mack? We had one winning season.
Look, you're bringing in things that don't make a difference when you're
it does
because
look
team.
Remember this. Derek Carr statistically had a better season this last season than 2016 by almost every metric. Not everyone, but passing yards, touchdowns, like the best ever and better than 2016. In 2016, he was third in MVP voting before he got injured. In a season he didn't play as well as this season. But again, because we were 12-3 when he got injured last season, 8-8 this one, all the blame goes on Derek Carr.
I don't understand
he's an MVP caliber because we're 12-3. That's my point.
The problem is you're going to go back to one thing that you can't argue against and try to make everything about that.
It's a fact. It's a reality.
The Bears had two stiffs at quarterback and still made the fucking playoffs last year.
At 8-8, same record as us. Like, it wasn't a good team.
They made the playoffs last year, dude, and we didn't.
Because they're in the NFC. No other reason.
Okay.
You want to replicate what Washington football team did?
So yeah,
they went to the playoffs. Let's do what they did. You really love
to get these top 10, top 5-ish players in their position and just trade them away to get all these picks back because, ooh, I got all these picks. You picks for what? What do you get with picks? You get players. And you get we have never gotten a player even close to Khalil Mack, even close to Amari Cooper with all these picks that we got.
It's not that black and white, right? There's obviously a lot of moving parts with Khalil Mack, right? Like, he was wanting all this money. Again, gray area. Was Mark Davis really going to make him the highest paid defensive player? Was he not? Who knows? He wouldn't even talk to John Gruden, whether that was Gruden's fault or Mack's fault. Who knows? We had just signed a quarterback to the richest deal in football for like a split second before the next guy was richer. Like, there was a lot of moving parts. And I cannot rationalize having the highest paid defensive player in football and the highest paid offensive player in football and still being able to build a team.
Other year with him under contract, and we had two franchise tag years. We had time. We could have done it if we wanted to. John Gruden jumped the gun. Fucking stupid move. They haven't gotten close to getting anything near what Khalil Mack. They still don't. As good as Ngakoue is, he's not Khalil Mack.
It looked like he wasn't going to go. It looked like he wasn't going to play. Like, he was threatening to sit out.
So you believe him, but you don't believe Aaron Rodgers. It's the same shit, man.
He was threatening. I'm not saying it was definitely going to happen, but it was certainly an issue.
You were so sure Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to quit when he's 20 years older than Khalil Mack was.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're arguing against yourself.
No, I'm not. They're two different human beings. Like, I've watched this Rodgers thing unfold.
Okay, but the thing is, it's like you're using one rationale as to why Rodgers, like, dude, he's paid, he's under contract, he's not going to get paid, and blah, blah, blah. But then when it's Mac, he wasn't going to play. We had to get rid of him. It was a great move. Like, we had him for three more years. We had him for three more years under control, his last contract year and two franchise years. We had him under control. We could have done something, but no, we jumped the gun and got rid of him because we fucking were stupid like that. It's not a good trade.
It was a correct trade. We just used the draft picks terribly, which is a separate problem.
It wasn't a great trade because you had three more years to get something done. Plain and simple.
That was part of the value, right? That was part of the value of trading him. Like, if it was at the end of his contract, it would be less value. You'd get less for him. You gotta trade him at moments like that, not when there's a week left on his contract. I miss him. I do. I don't want to lose him.
Let's just disagree then.
Remember the Panthers game? Remember the Panthers game when he just owned it by himself? Interception like on the last play, ran it in.
Four Broncos games where he
multiple strip sack games
ended the game.
Just five professional sacks game against wrecking. The
Broncos. Just, well, you know, we never had that since. Hopefully we get close to that now, but
I miss him.
I am not a big fan of trading away franchise players or getting rid of franchise players. Those are the guys that you find ways to keep.
So how would you have been able to build the rest of your team with
bro? We're doing that money now by shitting away money on Littleton and Kwiatkowski and all these and fucking Nassib and having all these fucking low 1 year guys step up. You get these studs and duds deals. You have to get 1 year guys to fit. That's what you have to do. But at least you have the franchise player. Even with all these stiffs around him that weren't playing well, Mack was still making a difference on the defense. Maybe not overall, but when you had a lead, you know he was there to close a game.
I'm just not big on paying the most money for a player outside of quarterback. It's just you just don't get the return on it. You just don't get the return. Highest paid tackle
again,
in football. That way
you're not going to win games with fours and fives, man. You need to have those nines and tens. You need to have nines and tens.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to be able to get a bunch of nines and tens under the salary cap is with a bunch of high draft picks.
Well,
the Raiders are terrible at it.
The only way to get three or four nines and tens is to keep your one nine and 10 that you had. That's the only way. Remember, like you said yourself, you said, you don't sign these guys in bunches. You sign them one at a time. Well, guess mm-hmm. what? You had one. The only way to get two is to have one, and then you can get two. But you have to have one. If you trade away all your top guys, you're not going to have any top guys. And you end up being 8-8, floundering every single year. We are in the worst position in the NFL right now, being a floundering, middling team. Those are the teams that are stuck because they're almost there. And let's just try it one more time. And let's just, you know, fucking Gruden has a million-year contract. Just try it again and just roll it out again and tweak it a little and run it out again. And then you have these teams that are like, coming up behind us, who are building up through the draft because they've been shitty, and you have these teams who are above this that are some of them coming down, some of them stay up because they have the players. The being in the middle and floundering off in the middle is nowhere to be in the NFL. Done.
Having money is where you want to be in the NFL.
Well, we have money now.
Yeah. You want to do this? I want to do my rant first before we do the agent survey.
Please.
So the Raiders are feeling themselves right now. And, yeah. You know, sort of rightfully so-ish, right? You know, look good against the Seahawks in the first preseason game one, if that matters. Played pretty decent against the Rams in the second preseason game one, if that matters. We heard all those stories of the joint practices where the Raiders looked fantastic, specifically on, was it Wednesday, the first day of the two joint practices. This was last week.
You know, yeah, Thursday was the Royal Rumble day.
Yeah, good. Thursday was the fight where it all fell apart, which was awesome.
Fights with S, fights.
You know, we saw the memes and the conversation of Hunter Renfro just, you know, embarrassing Jalen Ramsey and Darren Waller being uncoverable and, you know, our defense getting a bunch of interceptions on Stafford. Like, we're hearing all these great stories of how great we're doing. And everyone's feeling good. Everyone's happy about it. And to me, it feels like we are feeling ourselves way too much. This feels exactly like the feeling we had when we were 6-3 last season before we completely imploded. This is kind of what it feels like, where we're the Raiders, the players are really feeling themselves and fans are really feeling themselves. And it feels like, oh yeah, we're great. We're awesome. And I feel like it's that same feeling that we had 6-3 last season and 6-4 the season before we imploded. Like, I'm getting that feeling, Soto, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. And I almost, whatever left hair I have left, which is not on my head, probably in my beard, my nose.
Back.
My back, yeah.
Taint.
I got the Manscaped for that.
Oh, hey, that's true. We'll get to that in a minute.
So when Crosby was saying, oh, I feel like more in a leadership role, I'm not going to let what happened last year happen again this year. Well, you let it happen last year because it happened the year before and you were on the team then too.
Yeah.
If this happens again to us, it is an organizational problem.
Top down. Everyone's responsibility.
And it starts off with Mark Davis, with his blind commitment to Gruden, keeping him around, even though if it happens 3 years in a row, you have a late season collapse. We were killing Gruden for keeping Gunther for that third year. Mm-hmm. And now we'd have to kill Mark Davis for keeping Gruden around because it all falls at the feet on the field. It falls at the feet of Gruden. And because Gruden is still there, that then falls at the feet of Mark Davis.
It's hard because I feel like Gruden still needs to be the head coach. It's just having control of personnel is what ruins it. And you can never go backwards with power, right? Like, no. You can't take.
That's why he's got to go. If it happens again, he's got to go.
Like, Mark Davis can't take the GM response, like the true GM, power from Gruden and give it to Mayock. Like, that's just a recipe for implosion, right? If it was backwards and you could fire Mayock, I could say Mayock had true GM power, you could fire him and give it to Gruden. Like, that's a power structure that can happen, but you can't go backwards on that. So you giving John Gruden the farm, day one, you're stuck with it. You can't go back.
Yeah, this is the argument that we're having when it comes to Gruden basically being the GM the first year, and then hiring Mayock because he's just going to be a puppet because Gruden already had that power. He's not going to want to give it up. We have, everything we know of John Gruden and his ego, he's not going to want to give up any of that control. So it's a tough situation, man. It's a tough situation. And that's, I mean, I said it again. I said it last week or the week before, excuse me, when Rory was on. That if we have these busts and stuff like happening again this next year with our draft picks and, you know, young guys that are supposed to be, you know, cornerstones to our team are not panning out, we could be looking at a teardown in a 2 years. And it, you guys laughed in my face when I said that, but look at it from this perspective. You have, if the young guys don't step up this year, we're not winning games. It's just plain and simple. It's our team is built around our young guys or littered across this roster being the guys to produce. Because we already know what we have in our backups. And let's just cut the shit. Those guys, that's not a playoff, deep into the playoff winning team. If those guys are your guys, if those are your main guys, those are good backup guys, good role player guys, guys who played their little sections, the number twos and threes and stuff like that. But if you're young guys, so you have in those positions to succeed, don't pan out. You then look at Gruden for not being able to select and to develop the young talent. You look at Mayock for the same reason. And then you look at, you know, Mark Davis for not pulling the trigger and being, look, this is not working. We tried. It was a nostalgic thing. It's a good thing for the Vegas move and to create all this buzz, but it just didn't work out on the field. We're just spinning our wheels. We're not getting any better. Another couple of years, man, I'm telling you, you're looking at if – I'm not saying that we should do this or anything. I'm saying that if we keep going and we keep doing the same thing, spinning our wheels, being kind of a, you know, 9-7 or 9-8, I guess, 9-8, 8-9, whatever type team, barely missing the playoffs, the next couple of years – it's going to be a shutdown. It's going to be Gruden's gone, Mayock's gone, all those fools are gone. Let's start over.
Well, yeah, Gruden goes 6 seasons of the playoffs. Like, I hope they figure out a way to get rid of him. Like, he's got a guaranteed 10-year contract. Like, there'd be, you know, some kind of buyout, or hopefully Gruden gets so sick of losing that he wants to leave and doesn't
I will get
ravage the Raiders blind.
The filthiest chick on the strip. Be like, look, figure it out. Get it on tape. Let's find a way to get rid of this guy. Find a way to get rid of this guy.
I need documented proof of the donkey with penetration and proper lighting. We need to get rid of this guy somehow.
Something. Just something.
I mean, we're, and this is, of course, if we give like another like two seasons of losing seasons, right? Then you know, there'll be calls for Gruden's head very, very loud from even his most loyal supporters. But
yeah, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but I mean, it's something that we do need to be conscious of, because although the expectations are not there from the rest of the league by any means, it does seem like there is internal expectation of that we're going to do a lot better than people say we are. We just have to make sure that translates to the field.
Support for the Autumn Windbags is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, the champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WINDBAGS at manscaped.com. It is the thick of August. It is hot. Let me tell you, nice and trim down there with a good pair of baggy shorts on. That's a real feel-good feeling right there. Nice little steady breeze, little upwind. I'm talking like old school, kind of like baggy or short, where you got a lot of space up there. None of these,
a
like
a lot of room. Like the
not
old
a, not
school,
a pair
like
of chubbies.
The Fab Five shorts.
Yeah, maybe go a little no chonies for an afternoon. It is a fine feeling down there.
Yeah. Especially when it gets warm. You got to take a look at a lot of the different products they have to offer. They got that ball, the ball cream, and like the ball powder. Keep yourself from chafing and, you know, getting a sauce burn down there. Look, guys, we can be real with this. Okay. Keep your junk trimmed up. You know, it's sanitary. Keep it nice and clean down there. All the products that I've used for Manscaped have been freaking top notch. So Get 20% off of free shipping with the code WINDBAGS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WINDBAGS. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
So The Athletic does this NFL agent survey, and they get 33 NFL agents, and they anonymously answer a series of questions. And you get just like a bunch of answers, and you get kind of just like a taste of how agents feel. And they do this with team presidents. They do this with players. Like, they do surveys all the time. This one's with agents, which is a little different way to look at it. It's a bunch of, you know, most of them kind of like skeezy dudes with law degrees trying to, you know, instead of going to an actual law firm and working, they just want to like hang around professional athletes. So you get some egos and you get some guys like that, but you get a unique perspective, which is worth discussing. One of the questions that was asked, one of the first ones that was asked, what do you think of John Gruden's return to the Raiders 3 years into his 10-year contract? Great question. That is a very, very good question for anyone who's in football, because you get a variety of answers. You get insight from their perspective, but you also get a lot of people just puppeting and reiterating what they hear on SportsCenter. And we got some answers like that in this one. One of them that kind of raised my eyebrow: I didn't like this signing even before he coached a game with the Raiders. He should have stayed on Monday Night Football. My experience is he's not honest with players. He tells them what they want to hear, and that gets him in trouble. I've never, ever heard of that of John Gruden.
I have. We actually read that. What was it? An article that we were looked into a few weeks ago, where Gruden says what he needs to say at the time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't specifically towards players, but he says what he needs to say at the time. And he's like a salesman, dude. That's what we talked about, him being a salesman.
And I feel like that's just being a head coach, though. Like, you're trying to get a feeling on your team. Like, I need to come down on my quarterback because he threw an interception, but I got to also build him up to keep his confidence up. Like, I think that's more what I've heard of Gruden being like, not straight up like,
liar.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh my God, you're the best tackler in football. We're going to give you $100 million and then not do it.
Well, the thing is, this is why I was actually really excited about this survey, because the NFL agents are, they're just as plugged into what's going on in the NFL as anyone else, but they don't have that kind of like loyalty to a team where they just can't tell the truth. Or can't tell their truth. A lot of times these guys are going to give you, like the GMs and stuff like that, are going to give you more of a canned answer, whereas these guys are going to be a little bit more harder hitting, because they're, none wonder they're anonymous, and two, who gives a shit?
That's why I think this was more just one agent who didn't get the deal he wanted from the Raiders.
I don't know, dude.
This feels like sour grapes to me. This definitely sounds like sour grapes.
Well, he was the one that gave all these then, because they're not all great.
No, but the other ones make sense. Like,
okay, well, let's see.
This one, the Raiders draft players like they're trying to outsmart people. Sometimes the majority is right. Yeah, no shit.
Like, that's what I've been saying forever.
That's the most obvious one out of all of them.
How about this one? Remove the name and the glamorized image, and I don't see it. Where did the quarterback guru label come from? He had 1 year with another coach's players and got this huge deal. Can you imagine any other coach with his resume getting a 10-year deal? No.
So the 10-year deal obviously is just Mark Davis being in love with John Gruden, right? But the whole, like,
and pissing in the face of the Rooney Rule, by the way.
The Rooney Rule is a joke. Like, it's, you want him just like text a black coach just to pass it and go? Like, it's unenforceable. Like, it is a joke.
A minority doesn't have to be black.
Sorry, a transvestite Filipino. That'll
work too. Hey, the movie Wildcats, Goldie Hawn took that team to the state championship in high school.
I stand corrected. Give us a blonde chick as a coach.
I'll take it. She ran the Boston Marathon twice. Okay, how about this one? I think signing Gruden was a great business decision for the Las Vegas Raiders, but just curious why everyone is resigning.
Because they're in tax trouble.
Because everyone's going to go to jail. Self-auditing
themselves. This is the most scathing. It's a disaster. The game has passed Gruden by considerably in terms of ingenuity and having full control is problematic.
I agree with that.
The last
part
part's true. The last part's true. The
first part
sure.
is not true. He does run a modern offense.
He runs a top 10 offense. A really good offense.
You're seeing more teams using fullbacks. You're seeing more teams, at least motioning tight ends back to be a fullback. But the thing is if you have the right guy, you know, like whatever. I'm not gonna
and he's that. Running it's a great offense. He's running a great offense despite his terrible talent acquisition skills. Like our rookie wide receivers are basically gone last season. He turned Derek Carr deserves a lot of credit for it, but you got to give like Nelson Aguilar went from like a schmuck to a $22 million quarterback in John Gruden's offense. You got to count that. The offensive line was completely ravished from injuries. And again, a lot of credit has to go to Tom Cable, but all credit and blame in general, specifically the offense, comes down from John Gruden. Like he's put together a damn good offense, all things considered. Just having full control is a problem.
Yeah. What about this one? I think John is working hard at it. He might have a quarterback he doesn't really want. He needs to get some wins, but people jumping on the anti-Gruden bandwagon are early.
We've been over this. Gruden wants Derek Carr. By every single action he's ever made, he wants Derek Carr.
Look, man, I'm not saying he does. I'm not saying he doesn't, but whoever said that knows a lot more than you and I.
I think he's just watching SportsCenter and just hearing like
I don't think
the mimicking look, back and forth.
Don't do that. Don't do that, RJ. Anything you don't agree with, you just poo-poo as like, oh, he's just fucking full of shit.
We've been over this.
These guys know more than we do. They're
What has Gruden done to look, make you man, think he doesn't want Derek Carr?
The thing is, who has been really been available who is better than Derek Carr?
Literally, he could have picked up anybody. He could have traded for first round. He could have traded for early first round picks.
He doesn't want. He doesn't like rookie quarterbacks. What else? Who else has been out there?
He could have made. He could have tried to get like Russell Wilson and all these other guys that have been available.
How do you know he didn't call? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Didn't call. They told him the fucking
because he hasn't picked up anybody. Hasn't picked up anybody. That's why. Maybe that's how I know Nick John Gruden doesn't want to get rid of Derek Carr. We've been over this. Okay. Gruden's released.
You're stuck on that. This is a guy who knows more than we do, and he's putting it out there that, hey, that may not be his guy. Who knows? Okay. I don't want to get stuck on this because
we also got to remember, like, this is a good way to just get the general vibe of a group of people with specific knowledge, right? Unless he's Derek Carr's agent or John Gruden's agent. I don't know if he has like firsthand knowledge or is he just kind of repeating what he keeps hearing?
Yeah.
Like he didn't give anything specific, right? He just basically said like he might have a quarterback he doesn't really want. That doesn't sound like I have insight. Maybe you're right, Soto. Like you absolutely could be right where this guy knows.
Okay, there firsthand. We go. There we go. There
Maybe
we go.
He does.
I just don't like you saying, he just watched it on sports and he's repeating shit. I don't want to dismiss something like that.
I'm just saying this is the same line I hear from Twitter eggs. It's the exact same line.
We're going to find out in like 4 or 5 years or maybe 4 or 5 years after Derek Carr is retired. And he could actually like say some shit. Yeah. Or after Gruden's gone, we'll find out. But here's my favorite one.
I just want to repeat this one more time.
Go ahead.
You got to go by what like anything can be true, but you got to go by what the evidence says at the time. I think that's the safest, most rational way to move forward in a line of thinking. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
John Gruden, we've been over this. He's released every player he inherited except for Rashard, Morrow, and Carr. He, like we said, he has no problem trading superstars. No problem at all. Mack, Cooper, Hudson, Jackson, never traded Carr. He's never drafted a quarterback in the second stint. He's drafted every other position except quarterback and kicker. And he wouldn't even start Marcus Mariota week 17 because he wanted Derek Carr to be the guy. So like all I'm now, does John Gruden secretly still hate Derek Carr and he just was never able to get rid of him? Maybe. All the evidence says, every action John Gruden has ever made says, I'm keeping Derek Carr.
The issue, I understand, and I agree with that. You know, you follow the crumb trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Or in your case, the crumb trail.
Well, that too. So fucking gross, dude.
Where would that even lead you to? You know what I mean? Like, the guy's obviously already blown his load. What good is he to
you? When you said that, in my head, I was just thinking just arcing ropes, just jizz, pow, pow. Anyway, what
else is new?
There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about,
sure,
that don't materialize into things that you can report on.
Sure.
That's the issue that I'm having with, you know, not just saying blanket statement like, oh, it's not true. So that brings me to my favorite quote from an agent. I'm sure owner Mark Davis is scratching his head. He could have hired someone for $2 million a year and been average. He's fucking wasted $8 million a year and he's still 8-8.
Hey, it ain't salary cap money. I don't care. That's pure like Mark Davis, like tips at Applebee's money. It ain't salary cap money. Do what you want, Mark.
He maybe even driving a McLaren instead of driving a freaking Mini Cooper if you had that extra $8 a year.
You could afford a brand new white belt instead of the old white belt.
That old busted white belt.
Got in the car accident. I honestly wonder if they would have just hired a schmuck. Like, would it be even worse? You know, like, is John Gruden, remember, like, the Raiders have been terrible for a long time before Gruden got here, right? They had the one good 2016 season. Would we be even? I genuinely wonder. Would we be worse off with Gruden, or are we better off with Gruden?
The thing is, man, the issue with our team wasn't the coach towards the end of the Davis regime, because Davis did have it was. Look, I love Al Davis. I wish he was my dad, because I own the Raiders right now. But us having such a poor record the last fucking 15 years of his life was all Al Davis.
Yeah. Just being senile and not knowing what's happening.
It's all Al Davis. Yeah. We had something cooking with Del Rio. I think that we got rid of him maybe a little bit too soon. But it was just something was stale, and I think that Gruden came available and he finally said, yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But that was something that could have been done. I mean, the first few years of the McKenzie era was basically fixing the roster and fixing the salary cap at the end of what Al Davis did and Hugh Jackson did to the team, basically. So it's I thought that they were on that. If they would have done a couple of smaller moves and been smarter here and there after the 17 season and not just been in panic mode, they could have righted the ship a little bit sooner with someone who's a little bit more attuned to talent evaluation and stuff like that. But
I never know. I do love the idea of bringing in a coach who's in charge of everything and giving him a 10-year contract, because structurally, foundationally, there's Raider problems, right? Like, you don't lose for as long as we've been losing and be like, oh, it's just because of the last head coach. Like, no. Oh, it's just the last GM. No, it was bad for a long time.
It was the last owner is what it was.
The last owner, right? So I do like
who was the GM and basically was the head coach.
I do like the idea of one guy coming in and say, okay, you don't need to turn this around in 2 years. Like, you have time, right? Don't like sell the house, you know, sell the house to try to like win right now. Build, stay, you know, foundationally fine. Don't give away your draft picks. Don't blow a lot of guaranteed money and right this ship solely, as opposed to just sticking in a puppet or someone with no power who's just going to be absorbed by
the machine,
the inadequacies of the machine. So I do like the idea of, all right, let's pay someone a lot of money, give them a long contract, and have them steer this ship by themselves. It's just that Gruden has proven that huge chunks of those responsibilities he can't do.
He's not good at it.
Yeah, and talent evaluation.
If you wanted to go that long, slow burn route, it would have been the Del Rio McKenzie type route.
Mm-hmm.
that would have been the time to do it, because by all accounts, with you guys have to understand something here, guys. We traded Carson Palmer for 2 first-round picks, and we were already a fringe team at the time. So we weren't like the Rams trading first-round picks for elite players.
But that's my point. It was who was the coach at the time? Was it
Hugh Jackson?
Jackson, right? It was Jackson thinking, I need to keep my job. Let me bet the future on this move. Because they were like 4-2. And Hugh Jackson thought like, oh, yeah, we can win. Like, we can go all the way with this team. No, you can't. And that's my point is, like, that's an example of someone like, hey, I got to keep my job next season. I have to win now. Let's sell the future on this 4-2 team. Like, so you can't do that either. That's the downside of the other way.
That's the shitstorm that Reggie McKenzie walked into, was that. Yep. And he also had an extremely just upside down cap with all these crazy older underproducing players with long-term guaranteed money. So he came in with issues. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's great, but he did bring us a lot of elite talent. He
had one insane draft, the Mack Carr.
That was insane. He also had other drafts that were okay. He had good picks here and there, but
That's what I'm saying. He had one amazing draft, and then everything else was kind of.
Well, the Cooper pick was a really good pick. So
that was when you had the 4th overall. Like, was it the 2nd overall or 4th overall?
The 4th overall.
The 4th overall, right?
Well, so the thing is, guys, look. What I'm saying is, that's going to be our future if we don't produce now. Get ready for us. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I'm not predicting it to happen. If this Gruden, what the fuck am I trying to say? Experiment doesn't work out. Be ready for a Gruden light, a new coach, new GM coming in, and you get maybe not 10 years, but like 4. You got 4 years to really turn this around. Mm-hmm. If I'm Mark Davis, that's what I would do. Is just okay. Look, 10 years was way too long. I understand that we're really not where we need to be as far as foundationally. Let's build this foundation and move forward and go from there.
I mean, what would even a teardown look like? I mean, who would we get rid of? I mean, a true teardown, probably Carr would go in a teardown. But like, who else would you like? There's no like young studs to like get rid of and start over with.
And anyone who's making any kind of money is probably going to go. Anyone who's making any kind of money will go come back for picks. And then we just do what we're doing basically now is
Waller
on the defense. Well, he's also producing. He's the type of guy that you keep because where are you going to find another guy like that?
You know, I mean, in a teardown, like an expensive tight end is like one of the first things you get rid of, I would assume, right?
If you look at it from that perspective, you look at the perspective of one of the best players in the league at his position, and he's already in the door. I mean, he could make a transition to a new quarterback better. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it, but anyone who's making any kind of money probably would have to go for the picks back, depending on what you get back. Because what would you get back for a tight end? I don't know. I don't know what the market is for that. But
Waller on that contract? Oh God.
Well, we're talking 2 years from now. He's going to be on a different contract from at that time.
Yeah.
So, and then you just do what we're doing on defense right now is okay. We're going to get a bunch of talent, and whoever rises to the top, and whoever doesn't play gets cut eventually. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to have to do. That's what's going to take time.
And good news, Cliff Branch.
Yeah.
Senior committee nominee for the Hall of Fame. So he's not done
finally,
yet.
Finally.
Once you're at this point, and we've all seen the the memes and stats of like Cliff Branch and his numbers versus other receivers that are in the Hall of Fame, you're like, how is this guy not in there?
Yeah.
Finally.
He's won a Super Bowl twice.
Yep. All his receptions, all those touchdowns, all those great teams he was on. John Gruden talked about it at the presser today. He's like, he talks to him kind of like Ruggs a little bit, where he's like, he wasn't even as good as his, like, he was even better than his numbers. It was like, you had to double team him and then, or he'd beat you. And if you double teamed him, then Casper would pick up, you know, a 10 yard gain or something like that. It was just an absolute game changer for that offense.
To the post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. he gets swallowed by a lot of the other big personalities on that team, especially defensively, and on the offensive line, actually, and Al Davis himself.
Yeah.
So when people start looking at those late 70s, early 80s Raiders teams, they're like, oh, shit, Tom Flores was a pretty fucking damn good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Cliff Branch is a pretty damn fucking good player. So these guys who maybe weren't the shining stars that you wanted them to be at the time, because for one reason or another, you look back and you're like, okay, he won a couple of Super Bowls and he was the top guy.
I feel like skill players and then like linemen and defensive players, the criterias are opposite. Like for skill players, it's straight up, what numbers did you put up? Like, what were your numbers? With line, it was like, oh, how great were the teams that you were on? Because, you know, like these Hall of Fame voters are going to like go back and look through 10 years of tape on some guard in the 70s. They're going to be like, oh, wow, the Steelers won 4 Super Bowls with a great run game. All right, let's give all their linemen Hall of Fame, you know, make them all Hall of Famers, right? And offensive skill players is just like, all right, how many touchdowns did you throw? How many touchdowns did you catch? How many yards did you run for? Boom, that's just it. So it almost hurts Branch that he was part of this great offense because he wasn't the number one guy on that offense, or two guy, or even three guy, really, on those offenses. And so he's kind of like pushed to the wayside. But if he were a linebacker on those great defenses, he'd probably get thrown in there just because he was part of a great defense that, all right, start inserting pieces of that puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good. He's getting the recognition now.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm really happy about it, man. I'm really happy that he's prospectively getting in, but I don't see him not getting in, because I think with Tom Flores getting in this year, and just Raider Nation, man, we're making that noise because he's the next guy in line. Like, hey, man, mm-hmm. we're not going to let you bully us around anymore. This is bullshit. You know, it's not that we wanted to get in because, oh, well, someone who's worse than him got in, or who had worse numbers than him got in. No, he deserves to be in on his merit alone. He deserves to be in there, and he should be. Hopefully he does make it.
You ready to do some what-up winbacks?
Oh, why not?
You picked them all this time. We'll see if the listeners can know that. We can realize that by the questions picked. JP Navarro, is AJ Hawk, who we interviewed last week, a undercover Raiders fan, or did y'all spend the check on this feature? Like, we could afford to pay AJ Hawk.
We
could afford that.
No, AJ Hawk is a stand-up dude, and RJ's worked with him in the past.
So I used to host a radio show with AJ on Sirius XM for about a year. We were co-hosts, and so I just hit him up, and every time. I've only hit him up twice. Both times he said, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. And he's coming. Yeah,
he's an awesome guy, man. He's an awesome dude. Like, just before we get on air, we're just shooting the shit. He's a real awesome guy, man.
It's great awesome. Cat. It's also really cool to see how far he's come as a broadcaster, because he was still semi-green when we started, because this was years ago when I was a host with him, and I had already been a radio host for 10 years at that point. And he, like, genuinely wanted to be good at it. Like, a lot of ex-athletes, like, they get these jobs no problem because they're famous and they've got a great agent and blah 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 blah, and they just like, all right, I'm going to show up and just going to do it, and then I'm going to go back off to the titty bar where I really want to be. Like, AJ has genuinely wanted to pursue broadcasting as a passion and career, and you see it now when he's the co-host of the Pat McAfee show. He's great. He's funny. He's interesting. He can host the show when Pat's gone or whatever's happening. Like, he's really turned into like a really awesome broadcaster, and it's fun to watch him.
Yeah. When Pat's off doing WrestleMania, you go ahead and take over the show.
Yep. He's there. Rick Baker says, Soto is right, man. You can't continue to draft busts in the first round and pay bust out free agents and also expect free agents off the street to surprise you in training camp and help you win games. Soto, I don't think RJ stood what you meant. Well, yeah. Obviously, you want your draft picks to hit, and obviously, you don't want to overpay for free agents that don't do well. Yeah, like I concur. Like, we don't want that. That's not how any team wants to pursue, right? I don't remember the exact like context of the disagreement, but it's like, yeah, like those are all things that are true. It's just, like, I feel like things like that can be overcome. Like, this is exactly when we were 6-3 last season, we had all these problems you mentioned, and we had to shoot ourselves in the foot and fall apart to overcome them. Like, again, Just think of our 6-3, just the first nine games of last season. Think of what we accomplished. Held the Browns to 6, beat the Chiefs, beat the Saints. Like, we did some amazing fucking things last season with all of those problems that we're talking about. Terrible first round drafting, terrible picks in free agency, overpaying free agents. Like, we still were on the verge of a really, really good season until we had to hurt ourselves. True. So it's like, yes, everything you said is right. I don't want bad picks and bad free agencies.
So here's the deal.
We have overcome them.
Okay. Early in the season, when this starts to really show up is when you do have tape on us and you do know what we're running. And, you know, towards the end of the year, when it's not just a scheme that's making you successful, it's the players in the scheme who can overcome, you know, what we're going to do.
And
that's when there's an issue
and depth.
Yeah. So depth. Both of those.
So all these, like all the money we're spending on free agents don't pan out, all these first round, you know, high draft picks that aren't playing. It's like, even if you miss on a first round draft pick, like you should at least be a quality backup, right? Or something like that. Right.
You don't even get that sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Like, and we're not even getting that. So again, like now that we're at a 17 game season, depth is going to be even more important.
Yep.
And obviously with our 6-3 and then falling apart run last season, that's why I'm so excited by our depth this season. Like that is sneaky going to be huge when like week 14, 15, 16 rolls around. Like it is going, that more than anything, not a change in attitude. And that's why we're not going to fall apart late season. I think just the depth is going to be the number one reason why we don't fall apart late this upcoming season.
I think the context of that that comment was, I was talking about if we continue to have to rely on guys off the street and low
1 year $5 million
one year guys to build our roster, to be the producers of our roster, you're looking at a teardown in 2 years. That's what
it's a lot of little plug and plays. Jeff Garrison, compared to the articles of the journalists that have been covering the Raiders for the past few seasons, the Raiders team is completely different than those of seasons past. I love this Raiders team. The team first winning attitude, the relentless work ethic and determination to be the best players that they can be individually and as position groups and an entire team is proof that all the players have bought in 100% from day one and are fully invested in the coaching staff and team. That's something that I haven't seen in Raiders team in a very long time. ! They're building something special and it's showing. Let's see them keep the good mojo going, stay healthy, and continue to build confidence and momentum. Vegas 21, baby, Raider Nation for life.
Oh, life.
That was a great palate cleanser at the end of a podcast, you know?
I thought so.
A feel good, winning attitude, relentless work ethic, determination, everyone buying in. All those slogans and hyperboles that we love and we want to say about our team, Jeff gave us all of them to close out the show.
So I've been on teams before who were not good whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was turned around internally for whatever reason, coaching, whatever, they were, you know, as invested in our success. And we said, look, we're going to have to do this ourselves. And I've seen it both ways where the coaching staff demands more from the team and holds them accountable. And then the players then rise up who want to be a part of the team and who want to contribute and who want to get better and who want to win and do what it takes to win. And it works that way. Also, it happens sometimes where I've been on a team. I was a part of this as well, where the team's like having the players only meeting. Look, it's going to have to be us holding each other accountable because we see what's going on and we understand that it's maybe not going to be something that it's going to be successful for us. So we need to hold ourselves accountable. And then what happens is when that starts to work, the coaching staff then kind of comes in and says, okay, we need to hold these guys to a higher level. And then it kind of works out that way as well. It's harder to do it that way, but it's going to have to be both. I just don't see, for as much as he yells and screams, 2 years in a row of a collapse, if it happens again, you have to look at Gruden, man. You have to look at him for that. And hopefully there is a big change and we don't let it happen again. And guys like Max Crosby steps up and is more vocal. And we have, you know, some veterans that we just got, you know, Ngakoue Littleton starts to perform a little bit better and he's a little bit more vocal. And hopefully it works out, man. I'm that beaten up dog, you know. Like I'm gonna bite more, and I have to really trust it to let you get close. And I've been burned a lot as a Raider fan. I know you guys have too. So I really want to see it on the field, stretched out over the length of a season, to be able to go, all right, these guys are different.
I always thought you were more of the dog that would like shit in the owner's bed as opposed to biting, like a little bit more passive aggressive, like really leave your mark.
Oh yeah, I'm really passive aggressive. I'm not like direct in your face at all whatsoever. I say the motion to piss people off. Like RJ and I are in this text string for this bachelor party coming up, and I've said like four things that like have pissed so many people off, where I've like been muted from the freaking text string. Like, yeah. All right, whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Debbie Downer is like, hey, let's talk about Afghanistan before we go.
I didn't even bring that up.
You brought up everything else.
Okay, whatever.
All right, you save that. And until next time, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Auto Windbag. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check us out on YouTube as well. A lot of extra bonus content on there that we think you'll love. And make sure to check us out on the social media pages, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know the drill. Until next time, later.